Hello there, this is Obi-Wan Kenobi. Welcome to the Sith List.
And here we go.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Once more, the Sith will rule the galaxy.
I know this is hard for you, but winter is coming.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger.
Avengers!
Assemble.
Do it. I am a Jedi, like my father before me.
Why?
Who is scruffy looking?
Less.
Might wanna buckle up, baby.
Close.
Smash you.
King Tom.
Hey guys, you ever seen that really old movie, Empire Strikes Back?
And of course, Randy.
Change?
Yep.
Big change.
They got your weekend geek covered. And you? You're on the Sith List.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode number 295 of the Sith List. I'm one of your hosts, Suraj Dolachai, and my co-pilot for this evening's journey, the young, the restless, the bearded one, Mr. Carlos
Buarguel.
The man we call Crunch Crunch, looking great with a nice new little background. Les Gonzalez, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Just hanging out. Enjoying the company I'm in.
The man we all call King Tom. I call him the King of All Pods. Mr. Tom Chansky, what's up, buddy?
Not much. Happy to be here.
Randy, what's up, dude?
Nothing much, man. Likewise, happy to be here. Good to see you guys.
I'm thrown off that you're Randy this week.
As opposed to?
Everybody else in showbiz.
Oh. Yeah, no, I can't derail the show with me being a shithead.
The man I call El Hombre, Mr. Eric Struthers. What's up, buddy?
Hey, man, everything's awesome. But I will tell you this. I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring, and this is the longest I've looked at a screen where it didn't say, "You died," in all caps right in the middle. So this is pretty sweet. I'm glad we're doing this.
How is everyone doing? King Tom, I'm going to go with you first. How you doing, King Tom?
I'm good. The temperature here went up like 40 degrees in the last day.
Jiminy Cricket.
So I'm on plenty of Sudafed right now. Feeling fine.
Oh, you're doing the Sudies.
Yeah.
I used to do those playing college hockey.
You know, I do it to podcast.
Be careful with those, because the last time we had somebody on our show that was on Sudafed,
yeah,
I got into a relationship. So just watch out.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
You might say that, you know, you might say some stuff, you know, some things might happen and life might change forever.
I'll watch myself. Yes. Thanks for the tip, though.
The love potion. Who knew? Yeah. Sudafed. Well done.
Spanish fly.
That's why you have to go give your ID at CVS and Rite Aid when you want to buy it.
It's Cupid's arrow, I'm telling you.
It is. Shoot that poison arrow. Bada bum bum. Well, I'm gonna start right now by saying we had something visual happen right now that was very funny that Eric just did. But here's the thing: in a couple of weeks, I want to announce this right here, right now. It's going to be our 300th episode, and unfortunately, it doesn't land while we're at Celebration. But fortunately, it lands on May the 4th. So we are going to do a live show. And we're going to do a live show on YouTube, and we're going to record our regular episode that we do, but we're going to have a lot of friends come in and hang out with us in segments. And we're just going to, it might be our last show because we're always afraid of doing a live show with the things that we do on this podcast. And some of the things that you guys can't see, you're going to be able to see, unfortunately. But yeah, I'm going to put out some stuff, and we'll all put out some stuff on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We want you to come on and chat it up with us and ask questions, and we're going to have a great time, man. Crack a beer and hang out with the Sith List, kind of our motto. That should be a shirt. Crack a beer, hanging out with the Sith List. Les, how you doing? I know I asked you earlier a little bit, but how is everything going? I saw that you were making some ribs.
Yeah, I'm practicing. I told some people that I'm going to have something for them when they show up and hang out with us in a few weeks. So just throwing some stuff on a smoker and experimenting.
Yeah, how many weeks away are we, guys, for celebration? I think we're, what is it, like 8 weeks away? Less than that?
Maybe? Something like that.
Yeah. It's coming to knit again. I'm kind of getting sad, though, because I've been hitting up people. Hey, are you coming? Are you coming? And there's a lot of, no, I can't make it this year. So hopefully we still have a lot of people to hang out with. But I'm stoked that King Tom and Eric are going to be around. And maybe we could even take him to our Brewery X pizza night and hang out. That would be epic.
Oh.
That would be really cool. I just thought of that right now. So, and Boo can finally come because he's going to be in Anaheim. He's going to be right down the street. Yep. It's going to be good times. How you doing, Boo?
I'm good.
Everything fine? Everything coming up?
Everything's coming up, Strouthers, as always.
Randy?
Doing really good. Doing really well. I did want to bring up something before we got into the podcast. I was on Twitter last night.
Yeah.
And I saw something. I was like, I can't not bring this up on the podcast.
Please.
Ooh, you know what I'm going to say, man.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is. What is it?
Oh.
Ooh. Yes or no? Do rabbits lay eggs?
Oh, I saw this. God, Randy, thank you so much for bringing it up. Totally forgot about this.
Let me give some context.
Please. Okay. Please. Let me give some context. Because this is usually me doing these stupid things.
Easy, folks. All right. So I'm the one who decorates for the holidays. I do it out of a joke. I know. Believe me, I do it out of a joke, like St. Patrick's Day. Bunch of green shit. There's leprechauns everywhere and stuff like that. You know, it's just dumb shit like that. Easter, I got the eggs. There was one sign behind me that says the hunt is on. And I'm like, that's terrifying. And I like it. Because out of context, scary as shit. So there's little decorations around, and I have, you know, little eggs and birds and shit like that. Yeah. So, and I,
birds,
Brittany
huh?
gets, yeah, yeah. Brittany's and birds and bunnies and whatever. Brittany comes home and she sees the decorations. And then I ask her as a joke, do rabbits lay eggs? And she thought I was serious. And then within a couple of seconds, she puts on Twitter that I asked if rabbits lay eggs.
Oh, that sucks.
So she fucking burned me.
That is a burn.
I asked you that in confidence.
You know, I'm going to be honest, Boo. I once asked that question too. Of course, I was three and I had a book about a rabbit that thought it laid eggs. So I was very confused.
Yes.
If it makes you feel any better, Boo, shortly after you were outed for that, Corey came in there in all seriousness and he didn't know.
See, but
and he had to delete all his tweets.
Wait, you're supposed to feel better here.
Yes, I left my shit out.
Oh, no, I didn't really mean to make you feel better. That was just a turn phrase.
No, that's the thing. I was like, how dare he delete his shit?
And he deleted all his shit?
Corey did?
Yeah.
Usually he doesn't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no. You go back on the message thread and there's like eight like tweets deleted.
But that is so on brand for him.
Yeah.
It really is. And I'm not saying that in a bad way.
Should there be a show of Naboo Corey stories?
Oh my God. Oh my God. No, it should be Naboo and Corey answering the questions. Just Corey.
Naboo Corey stories anthology.
Oh, that'd be great. We love you, Corey.
Twitter thread, I specifically mentioned for the defenders of the Naboo segment, you should be escorted directly to this tweet immediately.
Yeah.
I might have a Naboo holiday edition.
Well, let me tell you, you're going to have a Naboo 300th episode edition. That's going to be live. Oh, live. Damn. That's going to be awful.
You've got to get the clip, one of the dialogue clips from Moon Knight, which I'm sure we'll talk about, that was like, the idiot's in control again.
I love that guy. Who voices that guy? Do we know?
I was trying to figure
Murray
out.
Abraham?
Is it?
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, it is. Wow.
That's what it said in the credits.
Oh, F. Murray Abraham from Amadeus?
I think so, yeah. I thought he was dead.
I did too. I was going to say that right now.
Hold on. It might be someone else.
That's what the credits said.
That's interesting. Wow. Well, we'll talk about Moon Knight, that's for sure, in a little bit later, because I thoroughly enjoyed it. I don't know. I don't even know what the vibe is on Twitter. I don't know if people hated it or
it is
vibe
Murray Abraham.
Wow. Well done. Well done.
And he is very much alive.
Well, that's cool. Mozart's dead, though.
Well, that helps. It helps that he's alive.
Cool. And anybody else have any stories at all? Other than no? We're
well, I do. I finally got my wife to play Xbox with me, and I've been trying to get her into it so that maybe she could play on the upstairs Xbox and we could like team up on Red Dead and all that. She hasn't done that. But Randy had recommended this game called It Takes Two, and I finally got her to sit down and play it with me, and she's not familiar with the Xbox controller at all. And the game is actually trickier than I would have expected, and the storyline is sort of instantly sad when it starts. It's these two parents arguing and their little daughter, and they're going to go tell her that they're getting divorced, and Amanda's like, what the hell kind of game is this? And the parents end up in the body of these dolls the little girl made, and they have to do all this wacky stuff to escape, and it literally is 100% about cooperation. And so Amanda's trying to learn the controller scheme, and I keep telling her that, now listen, when you jump, it's A for double jump, and then X will shoot you forward. And she takes her hand off the controller instead of using her thumbs, and she's up here doing this, and she's spamming the buttons and cussing up a storm. I mean, I'm like, you kiss my children with that mouth? Jesus Christ. But she was getting furious, man, looking at me like I'm stupid. And it turns out she's like, oh, I was pushing B instead of X. This is crap. Well, the next day I'm playing Red Dead, and she comes downstairs. And while I'm talking to her, I ride past this person, and they're level 24. That's the first thing you always do when somebody starts to grieve you is look at what level they are. And they're level 24. And I'm like, all right, that's it. Because I'm like level 506.
Oh, I'm like, shit.
Oh, I'm going to destroy him. And so she's sitting here. I like wheel around, and she's just shit talking me. Going, what are you doing? Look at you. And this person, that turns out they were extremely experienced at this game and had started a new character. Them and their friend handed me my ass. Smack talked me the entire time. Oh. So I messaged this person. I'm like, hey, that last shot you got on me was pretty good. And my wife has been just shutting me down. And they were so happy to hear it. So,
oh, yeah. I'm sure.
My wife is now a crap talker. And she might as well just be a griefer in my personal life. So there you go.
No. Yeah. That's funny. That's funny.
That's awesome.
That's awesome, man.
Did she say that she slept with your mom?
No. Nothing like that.
No, so she's not there yet.
No. Gotcha. No, but she will be.
Yeah.
Why is the go-to card when you're shit-talking, and this is in everyday life, is like, go fuck your mother. You know, I've said that on the hockey rink so many times. But why is that like the go-to? Like, hey, go fuck your mother.
Why don't you answer it yourself since you said it so much?
No, but I stopped saying it.
Right. Mine is different. I usually just say, I'll fucking kill you.
And yeah,
you run out of the game.
You scare the shit out of people. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Less
ruin the game.
In hockey pads and stuff like that. Yeah. It's no.
Less is wearing shoulder pads right now.
I'm shorter than everybody out there, so I feel like Wolverine when I'm out there. So,
okay,
yeah,
fine. You're a mini fridge. Yeah, that's fine. Okay.
You're a little mini cooler.
Yeah.
Well, let's dive into the box office real quick. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. There's even some Star Wars news, which is great. And I have a question of the week. Oh, but go ahead.
I got to interject. There's a reason why people say stuff like that when it comes to trash talking, and I think it's not going to happen as much anymore, but it's just because they won't get slapped for saying that shit.
Oh yeah, you know what? Let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's just get this over with, guys. Did you guys watch the America's Got Talent this week? No. So Oscars is a big deal in my household. I brought my mom over to my house. We used to watch it as a family, and me and my dad used to watch it, and we do the whole betting and predicting. So I did it this year here at the house, and Boo, your parents were here, Lorena, me, and my mom, and we did a whole betting thing. We picked all the categories. Your dad nailed it, by the way. He got 6 for 6 of the top six awards. Yeah, he's very, very happy about that. But that situation happened, and obviously I thought it was fake until I hear Will Smith running his mouth like crazy, and I was like, wow, if it was fake, he wouldn't be using the F-bomb like that on live television. And then my brother instantly sends me the Japanese feed, which didn't censor anything. And I was like, oh my head, this is crazy. So I'm a little torn with this one, guys. I really am, because I understand him going up there and doing what he did. But why I'm torn is because what the fuck are comedians going to do nowadays? I mean, we have the moral compass on them, the moral compass police on them, constantly trying to cancel a bunch of them. And then you can't even talk shit anymore, where you're going to get smacked in the face because you made a joke. And it wasn't, I get it, it was a bad joke, and the alopecia, I get alopecia. My first cousin has alopecia, and it's a horrible, horrible situation. I get it. Half the crowd didn't know who the G.I. Jane reference was, or what the reference was. Will Smith chuckled at it until he saw his wife being upset, which is totally, I get it. You see your wife teary-eyed or roll her eyes and get upset, and he redlined, whatever. But just what are comedians going to do now? I mean, that wasn't even a minuscule version of things that I've heard people say about other people while they're in the stands.
I think it's a particular case. Will Smith, his marriage and what's going on in it has been very public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe to
detriment.
Yeah, detriment, something that he's not happy about. But that's what's going on with him. They're still together. They seem like still to be a lovely couple. I think his case is very, very particular. I think he's in a moment in his life, in his relationship, in his marriage, all that. I don't think it's going to be what everybody else feels from now on. So it is embarrassing. It's an interesting question for all of us, kind of thing. But I don't think this is going to continue, this kind of stuff. Because you're right, there have been other jokes made, worse jokes, maybe not right in front of the person. I think it's easier.
I mean, if you watch the Golden Globes, not this year, but years before, Ricky Gervais has no filter, dude. He doesn't give a shit.
Yeah,
he rips people, and they're sitting 10 feet away from him. Mm-hmm. So, I hope so, Boo. I agree with you. I hope this is just a one case scenario, but. It's just odd to me that
it's fucking nuts though. Yeah, it was crazy.
The worst part is that it being a one-time thing, and I agree with Boo as far as like it just happened to be the perfect everything
storm.
It just happened to be that thing because it's something I have my thoughts, but I also know I have to navigate this differently as someone who's. Right. And I don't know everybody's walks of life, you know what I mean? But I can see some of us in our conversations, you know, we've maybe seen certain things like this happen before. I've seen people get slapped in church. You know what I'm saying? Growing up in the black community, it's you talk shit. And if you just catch that person at the right time, you know, a lot of people like to use black phrases, and some people always like to play around like fuck around and find out. Well, that shit is real. And sometimes you fuck around, you will find out. And in some cases, it don't matter. There has been plenty of times that I've had to calm cousins down or somebody else down. And they're just like, it's like, dude, we're at a birthday party. It's like, I don't give a fuck. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Okay. You know, there's been times that I'm like, I don't give a shit where we are.
Yeah.
You push me, I'm showing the fuck out. I get it, though. A lot of people would say, well, you should act with more decorum. This is the Oscars. I understand it's supposed to be a formal event. It's supposed to be something that, you know, like the cream of the crop. This is the primo prime event as far as film goes. It's just everybody has a breaking point. And my only issue is that I personally, and if this labels me, I'll stand in it. I feel that there's other people that need to get fucking taste slapped out of their mouth a lot. And there's just people that just have not had a good rap on the beat. And I'm not violent anymore. I've worked hard to control my own anger and work on my issues that I've had. But sometimes there are some people you just sit back and you look and you go, you know what? Somebody needs to just grab them and shake them. Or just, you know, just give them something. Just that you need something. There's a long list of people that get a microphone and a platform and they get to say things, or there's people in our lives that get to do certain things. And you just go, dude, you just don't understand. And then I'm not condoning it, but everyone has a breaking point. And even if you're not violent, there are people that when you see them snap, finally, you just go, okay,
Yeah, finally. That's why
there's a feather that fell on the camel's back, and that's it. It's over. And it just sucks because it was at the Oscars. It really does suck. Yeah. And then not only that, the aftermath is now Will Smith is going to be completely disciplined when there's so many other dark and shadier people. You know, like, this is Will Smith. Like, you have to understand, he's a darling. Like, at one, you know, this is, if there's anyone who's deserved a moment, if there's anyone who's, he had a great rise in his career, you know, he heated up perfectly. He was the top. Come on, guys, most of us same age here. Senior year of high school, Will Smith ran box office. We got Independence Day, Wild Wild West, Enemy of the State, Men in Black, Pursuit of Happiness. Raj got to co-star with Will Smith. He didn't slap him then. And Raj has been needed to be slapped plenty of times. Trust me, I've known the guy for almost 30 years. Dude.
Yeah, so, I slap myself sometimes, you know?
I'm just saying, man, like, it sucks because now they're talking about stripping him of his Oscar, maybe even...
Nah, I don't think that's going to happen. That's not going to happen. That's just,
I understand that, but the fact that they're putting these things out there when they're...
Well, they need to make a statement so this shit doesn't happen again.
And you know what? And that's what sucks because, again, for me as a black man, it's also one of those things about representation. It's also another thing about, you know, we just had in the frame of a few days, we have a woman who's qualified to be... You know, Ketanji Brown Jackson is sitting there being grilled and pushed. And I don't mean to take the Sith list into that territory, but
no, it's okay.
For black people in America, this is what we have on one end of the current event spectrum. And then now we have this incident between two black people on a stage, on the grandest stage of them all. And it overshadows so many other things. And that's just the issue I have, is that it just takes away from everything. But there are plenty of people, there are plenty of women out there that are like, you know what, I wish my man would do something like that to stand up for me. You know, there's just so many different, the intersectionality is so real here. You know, like, I'm sure someone's wife looks over at their husband when that happens, go, would you do that for me? And it's like, yeah, as long as you're not talking to Brock Lesnar, I'll slap anybody as long as it ain't The Rock or Brock Lesnar.
I tell you what, Les, I tell you what, if it was Chappelle, you might have thought twice, man. You might have thought twice. I can't imagine this. If it was Chappelle, there would have been some fighting going on. It wasn't going to be.
I'm sure Ohio would represent. I'm sure Chappelle would be like, nah, dude, man, it's Ohio, baby.
I give credit. There's a moment
for where Chris Rock, you can tell. Yeah. No, not fist. No,
he did a fist.
Tell that he wants to verbally unload.
Oh, yes,
on
yes,
him.
Yes, 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 yes.
And he holds back. He's all, oh, I could. He's all, nope.
Yes.
And you heard him talking. And you heard him say, G.I. Like, Jane.
Feel bad. Like, Chris Rock, dude. I get it. Will Smith. Chris Rock fucking like got like publicly like fucking slapped.
Oh, he got punked.
He got punked.
Like, he got straight like, punked. He got slapped and told to shut the fuck up. Like, and he had to just say, like, anyone who gets punked, all right, you're right, I will. You know, and that sucked.
And he finished his monologue, dude. He finished it.
He's got an iron chin, though.
Oh, yeah.
I will say this, though. He could have roasted Jada a different way. I will say that. You know?
Yeah. If he knew about the alopecia, yeah.
If I will take nothing away, because I really do feel that comedians, you know, court jesters were the only ones who could make fun of the king.
Right.
And they could really actually say, King, you're an arse, you know, and it's like, oh, well, he's the town fool until he went too far. And then, of course, he got his head chopped off. So it's a tough one, man.
It is a tough one. That's why I started off by saying, man, I'm torn because you know, until you're put in that position, until your wife looks at you in a way like I'm humiliated, you forget where you're at. I mean, he shouldn't have done it.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me happy that a lot of times people are surprised and have a hard time believing that it, in the grand scheme of things, wasn't that many years ago where I was getting into physical altercations with total strangers on the regular. Mm-hmm. And I'm embarrassed about it. And, you know, all the things that you say about Will Smith, that maybe we should give him a pass, are the exact same things for reasons why he should be able to handle himself better. The thing is, I get it. I do understand. But what you need to look at here, and I'll make this quick, is the first thing you look at in that is intent. Chris Rock's intent was not to totally shit on her. He made a joke in passing, not knowing that this was a thing. And I get that totally sucks. It does. But Will Smith could have been much more effective in ripping him down verbally.
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
When he had an opportunity, that would have been substantially more effective and more brutal. This has dominated the news cycle. And yeah, we are talking about it.
Right.
And I see headlines like Amy Schumer finally weighs in about how triggered she was over this. There are actual problems in this world.
Yeah.
People in Eastern Europe, I imagine they're like, are you effing serious right now?
Right.
This is what everybody's talking about. Have you looked out the window over here? And for me, I find that to be one of the worst things about the whole deal is that this is what has consumed our thoughts. When I realize constantly thinking about this thing we don't have control over it, there's a whole story to be told there. But I just think that, man, it's just a shame. That's the only way thing I can say about it.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I wanted to cover it is because, you know, we are a pop culture podcast, and this is like the biggest thing that happened in pop culture over the last year. Very abnormal thing. And so, yeah, I think we covered it enough, obviously.
Well, I mean, regardless of how you feel about it, man, it's just sad to see.
It is.
Where no matter how you stand, like, if I hope there's no one who honestly gets a jolt from having to discuss this, because it's a very uncomfortable thing. These are two people that we've all looked up to for a long mm-hmm. time, put in an uncomfortable situation with a bunch of history that people are weighing in on that they don't know about. And I just want to go away, man. I don't want to see any more clips of it. I don't dude, it's fucked up, man.
How about next year? You get those two guys to host and just squash it all. You know what I mean? Get those two guys to host the Oscars and they'll be done with it. Make some jokes about it. Hang out together on stage. Done.
You know what I mean? I think whether that happens or not, I think, yeah, these guys, they're going to be fine.
They're fine.
Everyone deserves forgiveness.
Yeah.
However they want to get past it, they'll get past it.
Right. Well, box office, guys. Let's get into the box office. We don't have the Batman at number one anymore. Unbelievably, The Lost City with Sandra Bullock and Channing Tatum and Brad Pitt has taken over the number one spot. $31 million for The Lost City. The Batman, $20.5 million. Still very well, very good. RRR, triple R, whatever this is, $9.5 million. Uncharted, still $5 million. We got the Jujutsu Kaisen or whatever that was that you said, Les, $4.6 million. So that's still hanging in there. And worldwide, the Batman's at $675 million. So it's still doing well. And a deleted scene that we got over the weekend. And I love what they're doing with their social media. And you go on that website. What was that? What was the website called? Ratatala or something?
Ratatala.
If you go on it, I went on it yesterday, and it said that the Gotham Police, was it GCPD or whatever it is? Mm-hmm. GCPD. They had frozen it, and they've taken over the website, so you can't do anything with it right now. So it was really cool. A big logo comes up of the GCPD.
Yeah. Did anybody get Romance in the Stone / Jewel of the Nile vibes from the Lost City? Just the trailer alone?
Yeah, I got that a little bit.
I immediately go, oh man, Romance in the Stone.
It was a great movie.
Yes, it was.
Kathleen Turner. Was Danny DeVito in those movies? He was, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he was a big part of those movies. He was a little...
He was like sleazy...
Yeah.
Tour guide, right?
Yeah, exactly. Did anybody watch anything at all this weekend?
I watched the Halo show, the first
episode. Oh, that's Halo out?
Series. Yeah.
Okay. Let us know.
Yeah, it's on Thursdays. It's
okay.
Disney Plus owns Wednesday now.
Yeah, they sure do.
I thought it was good. People were, I guess, concerned. I understand why. They were concerned with, you know, video game content on screen doesn't really hold too much weight and stuff like that. But I thought it was good. The action's good. I like Master Chief. It's not exactly the timeline that we anticipated. I think that was another concern that people had. They call it a silver timeline. Silver timeline, you know, because the actual Halo game is the gold timeline. And I dig that, because I don't want to see the same thing that I've already seen, played, watched, all that. I thought it was interesting. A little bit of a spoiler, but I think everybody's seen it. We've been waiting decades to see Master Chief's face. You know, you never see it. You never see it in the video games or anything like that. In the first episode, mofo takes off his helmet.
Oh, there you go.
You see Master Chief's face. I thought that was funny. I was like, I've waited decades to see this motherfucker's face, and it's happening now?
In the very first episode.
Very first episode takes off his helmet. So,
Here's a question for you. On the trailer, I got the vibes. It was very Sci-Fi Network special effects, which isn't horrible. But how is the production value?
It's a high quality show. It's a high quality show. I could see what you're talking about, though. I could see what you're talking about. That's an interesting way to put it. I never thought of it that way.
Well, look, Battlestar Galactica was a phenomenal show.
That's true.
But the special effects, they didn't get the budget. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not their fault. Well, How many episodes is it?
The Halo series? This season? I'm not sure. I think it's... I'm pretty sure it's under... I want to say 8. I know it's under 10.
Because the budget is $90 million for the show. So you're looking at roughly like about $10 to $12 million per episode.
Right. And that's not a lot.
Yeah. And that's the...
comparatively the food, now. Yeah.
That's the food table for the Lord of the Rings show. Is $12 million or $90 million.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, imagine if Bezos had this and what he could do with this. Bring in everybody, you know.
Space.
Production wise, yeah, he would actually do it up there. Yeah,
yeah, he'd actually do it in space.
Right.
I could see what you're talking about with the explosions. I thought the Covenant looked pretty good. Covenant, you know, the elites and the other characters. One thing I was concerned about is Master Chief's armor. He's already a big dude. Then he's covered in a ton of armor as it is. And it worked better than I thought it would. I was afraid of that. I was like, I hope he walks better than, you know, RoboCop and stuff like that. So I dig the show. I don't think it's going to be anything great where it's going to be like, oh my God, I got to recommend this, but I like it. And I want to see where it's going. You know, I think there's enough people out there that love Halo that'll watch it. So I at least want to see if it's a limited series, maybe like 3 seasons or something like that, I'd be content.
Yeah, maybe they'll up the budget if it does well.
Well, I mean, they're on the perfect network, streaming network for it, where all the hits are on Paramount.
Paramount Plus. Let me tell you, Paramount Plus has the biggest show on television right now.
Yeah, that Yellowstone.
Oh yeah, Yellowstone is the biggest show in the last 30 years, ratings wise. Wow. They're killing it with Yellowstone.
Is the biggest show for Paramount Plus?
No, biggest streaming show
ever
in the last 30 years, numbers wise. Yeah,
bigger than Squid Game.
Look it up. They just broke kind of record.
No, I expect you to be an expert.
I do love Yellowstone, but I don't know like specific numbers, but I know that it's the biggest show right now, and I've heard it's the biggest show. They've broken records. Streaming wise, if crack team can get on it, crack team, please get on that and let me know what that is. If maybe they've categorized themselves into like biggest drama something, I don't know, but they're definitely claiming that they're doing very, very well. So much so they started a prequel called 1883, and that's doing very well too, by the way. So yeah, Paramount Plus, they have some good quality shows. There's another one with Jeremy Renner is in it. I forgot what that mayor of something.
East Town or something.
Yeah.
I've heard that one.
No. Mayor of East Town is with what's her name?
That's HBO. But it,
yeah.
It's Mayor of Kingston.
Kingston. Kingstown. Yeah. I heard that's great too. Mm-hmm. So Yeah, Paramount Plus. I don't know. They need people. What I think is happening, why it's so highly rated, I think you can get it on Hulu, Yellowstone. So people are watching it on Hulu. I don't think they're getting Paramount Plus specifically. I don't think.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily saying that I don't think Yellowstone is capable of having the most ratings. I just don't think they can do it with Paramount Plus. They're just not enough. There's not an install base, I don't think, for that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're using Hulu as the conduit.
That would make more sense.
Right. I watched Batman by Gaslight, by the way. I saw that on our...
It's Gotham by Gaslight, right?
Oh, is it Gotham?
Gotham by Gaslight.
Oh, it's Gotham. Okay. Yeah. Batman's in it. He's a big character in it. I don't know if you know. But it's really good. It's really, really good. So much so that I would love to see it as a movie. I think it'd be rad as a movie. A period piece, Jack the Ripper, Batman, film noir. Oh, it would be really cool. It was badass. And all of Batman's like villains are in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Except for like they have Catwoman and Ivy as hookers, and I thought that was a little weird, but I guess, you know, it is what it is. Anybody else watch anything? We're all good. I know Les for sure saw a little reunion of Love is Blind at my house.
And, I didn't want to say I saw that.
Didn't say it. You didn't say it. I said it, but you're good. But he did get mad at Shake. He was like yelling at the television. So, Shake, watch out.
There's a reason I pissed. I can't do that. I can't do reality shows.
Yeah.
Something happened years ago. Something happened years ago that just made it. Because I used to love The Real World. I used to love Road Rules. Survivor came out, and I'm like, you know, let me watch some of these. And it was cool. And then I think, I don't know if Puck. You remember this.
Puck happened.
It wasn't Puck, actually. It wasn't that guy, which Shake and Puck now are easily the top two douchey villains. They deserve to get slapped. Where's Will Smith walking around smacking the shit out of them?
Right.
Anyways.
That's true. Shake did deserve to get slapped.
I don't know if you remember this, Siraj, but we were hanging out at South Coast Plaza, one of the swanky malls out in Orange County. And
that's how we do, me and Les.
I think we were just walking around acting like we were richer than we were because we were obviously too fucking broke to be there. Yep. And I remember...
Ballers on a budget.
Seen one of the guys from Real World. I don't know if it was Atlanta. Cyrus, his name?
Cyrus.
Yeah.
I remember seeing him as we were walking, and our buddy Daniel's like, dude, that's the guy from The Real World. And I looked over, and I'm like, this fucking dude is dressed like as if he's on stage. He had like all these accessories and fucking scarves and belt buckles and shit. And I'm like, I'm fucking done. I'm done with all this shit. I'm over it. That pretty much turned me off. Because it was like, there's no cameras following you around, bro. Relax.
He had all his Von Dutch stuff on.
It was. I was like, this is...
Ed Hardy doubt.
And all it was you knew he was basically just cruising so he could like snag him a hot Orange County chick. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I'm over it. I'm good. And then Kanye's... what song was that over Tom York's Eraser?
Kanye and Pharrell.
Yeah, and I'm like, yep, that basically just explained it all. I'm good. I don't watch reality TV anymore.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think that show in particular, because of reasons like that, that people go on there because they are looking for clout, they were intentionally, with Love is Blind, at least the first season, not telling people that it was a reality show, that it was just a dating like experiment.
Experiment, yeah.
To give, to get people who weren't trying to... get a place in Hollywood. I mean, obviously that kind of is out the window now, but
The first season's totally a little more authentic, but this, it's definitely entertaining and it's definitely interesting to see the experiment play out. But I'm glad you're a part of the family now, Les. I appreciate that.
A reluctant part of the family. I'll be in the back.
We're all reluctant, but
we are all. Yeah. Come on, Jared.
I'll be the one who throws the fucking table over middle of dinner.
All right, I think it's time to dive into some Star Wars. Thrawn, yeah, but what do you got to say?
Greetings. This is Grand Admiral Thrawn aboard the ISS Chimera. You are currently listening to the Sith List. I know a great deal about you because of this artistic choice. May warrior's fortune smile upon your efforts.
So there's some stuff going on, and this is I don't want to call it non-news, but because there's not any more news than what we've been talking about, it's the only news we got. So let's talk about it. Donald Glover has talked about the Lando series that was apparently going to be on Disney Plus that we heard about months and months and months ago. So he was on Kimmel and was asked specifically about a Lando project on Disney Plus, and he sort of didn't.
No. I have it right here, Eric.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I think it got me excited. So let's hear it.
Working on a new Lando project for Disney Plus right now.
Am I?
No. Look at him. He
just all my business.
Up. I made that up to see what was going on, but it's called fishing. Like, you never heard of it?
You're making another alien. Is that true? I have a lot of things. I like to blossom and then go away.
I like to blossom too. I love it.
I know. I really
give people allergies and then disappear.
And like right now is definitely the start of another one of those. I have like a ton of stuff I've been working on, but I just wanted to feel. I just wanted all to come out at the same time. So like I feel like that's what's important.
Well, there you go. See, I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but there's rumors. We've heard a while ago that he got a huge, massive bank truck just drop in front of his house, and he agreed to do it. And the way he looked initially right there was like, fuck, like, yeah, you're gonna talk about all my business. So I got excited when I heard that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we still don't have any sort of real news about it. It's as far as development and all that. We could still be talking about 4 years from now.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, he talked about it. You'll notice he never said the word Lando anywhere.
No.
But he did say one of Boo's like total go-to lines, which was no. So anyway, I mean that's cool though. I love Donald Glover, and I would really be stoked to see him reprise the role of Lando.
Ugh.
And plus, man, I gotta tell you, based on like some other stuff we're gonna talk about today, the long form prospect of a Lando story that like what you get on Disney Plus, more episodes, more time, more minutes than a movie, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So yeah, hot damn for that. But so we had another thing, and this is more specifically what I was talking about, like with non-news, is that Deborah Chow is talking about this is Entertainment Weekly, about Hayden Christensen coming back as Vader. And here's the deal, man. It's going to be a different Vader in this way. Here's a direct quote. For us, it's very similar to Obi-Wan in the sense that he's in between these two trilogies. What? I mean, yeah. So he isn't the New Hope Vader quite yet. So we are with the character sort of in the middle of this period, which, for God's sake, sorry, I'm done with the quote now.
Right.
That's saying nothing, really. I mean, that's what you would expect. It would be terrible storytelling if that wasn't just a given. You know what I mean?
Are we going to see him training to be an asshole? Is that what we're going to see? Like,
I think if you consider it from the lens of the people making the show, obviously they're looking at it from a point where it's written from a place where they're trying to write a transitional period for the character. But yeah, it's such like a say nothing, like, yeah, no shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's, and I mean, just hearing talk about it's great. I don't want to discount that, but it's literally saying nothing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, guys, here's some interesting news. We were talking about the Sith list, and it turns out it's not that great. And people are like, what? We already know that. I'm just kidding, man. This podcast totally rules. Rules super hard.
Rules super hard.
Yeah.
That's a shirt right there.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, to me, that's, I don't know, whatever. But hooray, it's getting made, and we are not too far away from seeing it. So
yeah,
at least
together, together. By the way,
holy united,
and it feels so good.
So good. That's right. So this is a thing. Matt Lanter, voice actor extraordinaire, has played tons of Star Wars characters. If you look at his IMDb for Clone Wars, I mean, what you specifically think of Matt Lanter's Anakin Skywalker. But oh my gosh, he has a billion credits just in that show alone. Well, his wife announced he had to have emergency surgery because he had an obstruction in his intestine. And essentially, have you ever read the book Marley and Me?
I've seen the movie Marley and Me.
Seen the movie.
Well, that's what happens to the dog in the book. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I never watched the movie because I was already sad enough reading the book. But that's what happens. His stomach flipped over and obstructed his bowel. And so they had to go in and do surgery on that. But speedy recovery, man.
Awful. He was in a great series. Well, I'm going to say great. It was a really good series. Les and I were watching on Netflix with Josh DeMille. What was that movie, that series, Les? Remember the one that was fantastical?
Jupiter's
Legacy.
Yes.
Yes. No, yes. And he was one of the main characters in that show.
Yeah.
Matt Lanter was.
It was
a pretty good show. Yeah.
Solid.
Yeah, it was solid. Whatever.
Tangent. Though.
But yeah, speedy recovery. Absolutely. I know his wife put something that it's going to be a tough road to recovery, but positive vibes. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, because that's super dangerous, man. Any obstruction like that is, it can kill you in a very short period of time. Anytime they have to cut the most bacteria ridden part of your body open. But anyway, I kind of wish I hadn't gone into that level of detail, but there it is, man. There it is.
I know, King Tom, there's a Luke and Lando book coming out, correct?
It's coming out sometime this spring, and it tells the story of Luke and Lando between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens, searching for Ochi of Bestoon.
Can Ochi look scary on the book cover, dude?
I don't think that's Ochi.
Well, that's probably why he looks scary.
Yeah, no. Ochi's been a part of the current Marvel run that takes place before Return of the Jedi. He's very entertaining in that. No, but they StarWars.com released an excerpt of the book in which Luke kind of takes a Force vision to Exegol, and he sees these spirit-like Sith creatures, and in the end, he encounters this being that he thinks is Ben Solo, but it ends up being Anakin.
Wow.
Yeah. It was really well written. So a lot of people are looking forward to this book.
Who wrote this book?
Not me. I don't know off the top of my head. Not one of the regular writers. I think it's new. Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to say something here. Here's a, We're in the private chat, and I said something stupid. I said that Ochi's cousin's name is Cucci, and I spelt it wrong, C-O-U-C-H-Y. But Les has to fucking spell it out for me, C-O-O-C-H-I-E. Thank you, Les. I didn't know.
You know, I was just changed the title of it. It's not even a private chat anymore.
Because you threw it all the fuck out there. Shit.
Well, if you're going to be a dickhead, then I'm going to fucking say it. So watch yourselves.
Cucci right.
I'm thinking, who the hell is? As I'm talking and reading this at the same time, thinking, who the hell is Couchy? Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. See,
that's Fauci's brother.
Oh,
that's spelled differently too.
That's his cousin.
Yeah. All right.
What the fuck, guys?
That was pretty good, though, Raj. I want to give you props on that.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate
it. Jerk juice going.
The jerk juice, the haterade. It's all fucking everybody's pounding.
Actually, you know what? That might be what I smoke some ribs with jerk juice.
Yeah. Yeah. We took a couple of shots of it. Evidently.
Bro, for the five of you.
Our buddy Sal told me about that little excerpt, and it sounded phenomenal, actually. And I was like, wow, that sounds fucking cool. So I'm excited to have Luke and Lando team up. And going back to Lando real quick and Donald Glover, the idea that was floating around that the rumors was, which I love, was they were going to get Billy Dee Williams to be reminiscing about his days as Lando and the OG that he is. And it would be Donald Glover, you know, obviously portraying him as a young Lando. And you get the best of both worlds, which is fucking awesome. I think that'd be rad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Any other Star Wars stuff at all?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
That's it. That's it. King Tom, anything else out there?
I think what Eric says goes. I'm not aware of anything. I was trying to be all fancy and stuff.
Yeah.
I defer to Eric.
Yeah, no,
Nah, it's a King Tom is an actual Star Wars guy. I appreciate you letting me keep the title, but
no.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys the question of the week, and it's going to be a little out there. You hear Hall & Oates.
Mm-hmm.
Best Hall & Oates song, guys. Best Hall & Oates song. And as a young lad, I didn't appreciate these guys, like I've said about my whole yacht rock new love for yacht rock. Hall & Oates is probably the top of the chain on yacht rock. They have so many bangers. Which Hall & Oates song is your Hall & Oates song? Well, Eric, I'll start with you, musician extraordinaire.
Dude, you need to give me a minute. I'm going to look at a list because, like, I'll forget.
Well, you can just, dude, that's mine, Randy.
Private Eyes.
They're watching you.
That is a really good one.
Well, I made a little melody and little mix here. And well, and it has a lot of melodies too, Eric. I'm just, you know,
I'm sure it does.
There, okay, there's a lot of melodies in the medley. All right. Obviously, this is the most popular one. You know, Manhunter.
Manhunter.
No, Manhunter is a movie, and this was in Manhunter, the show on Netflix. Just want to throw that out there too. Fuck you guys. I'm just trying to do a segment here, and you guys are killing me.
Couchy.
Shakespeare or rap lyric. Yeah.
We all love games.
Yeah,
we
King
all
Tom,
love games.
I was gonna do a game today called Coachella or Nochella. I was gonna ask you if I was gonna give you headliners and see if they've played Coachella or not. Coachella or Nochella. So just be happy with Hall & Oates, okay? Randy, your favorite Hall & Oates song. You said it already. Fuck off.
Private Eyes.
You're right. It's King Tom. How about you?
I might go with Maneater.
Okay. Okay. That's typical. Whatever. Boo, Maneater?
Yeah, I have to agree with King Tom. Yeah.
Okay. By the way, Manhunter is a great show on Netflix. Les, how about you?
I can't go for that.
No can do.
Yeah, sorry. I don't know I just know the song. I know the title.
No, that's called No. I Can't Go For That. You got
it's
it.
No Can Do. Yeah, I can't go for
that. Yeah, no, it's a great one. I think I have it here somewhere. That's Randy's jammer. It's a really good one. Let's pump it up. Look, you're cruising down Newport Beach in a yacht. Wearing just like dolphin shorts. Oh, dude. Fantastic.
He has an underrated voice. Daryl Hall has a very, very great voice.
He has a great soulful voice.
Have you ever seen, he had a show on one of the like indie music channels called Daryl's House?
Oh, you know what? This is the perfect segment for Eric's Daryl's House fucking story that he said four times on this podcast. What was going on with that Daryl House story, Eric?
Go back and listen to one of the other four times I said it, Dick.
I knew that was gonna. I thought it was gonna come up.
Go fuck yourself and listen to it on your own.
You really want me to tell the story?
Yeah, sure. With Hall & Oates in the background, let's do it.
Yeah. So one of my buddies, he's telling me about this show called Daryl's House, and explaining the premise that some rando named Daryl has this really cool studio, and inexplicably all these famous people come over and jam with him. And I'm like, that sounds killer. Let's watch it. And I haven't had cable for years, and he turns it on, and instantly I'm like, Oh my God, that's Daryl Hall. So we watch a while, and I said, man, do you notice? You showed me several episodes. They always play Hall & Oates tunes. What do you think that's about? And when I told him, I'm like, that's Daryl Hall, dumbass. Dude, his face watching the collapse was so good. It was delicious. Yum, 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 yum. I ate that up. It was really
That was
good.
A really good show.
Yeah.
It really was. I've said that four times, too, for every response.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Oh, which one's this one, guys? Oh, Your Kiss is on my list. I mean, just jammer after jammer. Banger after banger. Daryl Hall, well, John Oates, well done.
So
sorry, I was an asshole when I was a kid.
Yeah, I really like Out of Touch. And yeah. Yeah, I'd say Out of Touch is probably my favorite.
It's Man a great one.
Close second.
Yeah.
What is the tune? I'm trying to think of it, and inexplicably, I can't find it.
Sarah Smile?
No. It's the song that everybody assumes is Hall & Oates because the guy sounds just like Daryl Hall, and it's not him. And they actually, the song was written for them, and they passed on it.
Oh,
and
really?
And then they later went back and did it.
Huh.
And I cannot think of the song.
Crack Team, get on it.
Hang on. It's got to be on this list somewhere because...
Well, you know what's on the list? Your Kiss.
Your Kiss.
Okay, segment's done. If you guys figure it out, let us know.
Is it Somebody's Baby?
No.
Brown.
That's Ace of Base.
Chilliwack, Don't Stop.
Did you hear about the bus crash?
What bus crash?
Ace of Base.
No.
Yeah, the bus driver didn't see the sign.
Oh.
Damn. Jesus Lord,
I fucking ran into that one.
Jesus, the bus it's ran over. You over, Ross.
Hey, yeah. Wow. You can follow me at Lessons War 78.
Damn. I love it. I love it. That was a good one, King Tom. That was phenomenal. Well done. Well,
assassin.
Yeah, he just shot it. Yeah, that was a good one. Well, we got, we're going back in the nostalgia trip with Hall & Oates. We have a trailer. Number two for Top Gun, the second one that's coming out. And I like this one way better than the first one. This is, it was a very cool trailer. You didn't like Boo? No? You're saying no Boo on this?
Well, I'll talk
You're wrong.
After.
I'll You're talk wrong.
After, you know.
But it gave me the feel of this one. I don't know. The first one kind of didn't give me the feels. This one did. So let's check it out.
What do we have here? Here I thought we were special.
Fellas, this here's Bagman.
Hangman.
Whatever.
What the hell kind of mission is this?
The flight scenes just look so badass.
Everyone
in this.
Here is the best there is. Who the hell are they going to get to teach us?
Oh, you shouldn't ask that question.
Captain Pete Maverick Mitchell.
Oh!
Let me be perfectly blunt.
Dude.
Not my first choice. You were here at the request of Admiral Kazansky, a.k.a. Iceman.
Iceman is back.
Left to offer the Navy. What that is, I can't imagine.
Don Draper's in this. Come on.
With all due respect, sir, I'm not a teacher. Just want to manage the expectations.
Oh.
Good morning, aviators. This is your captain speaking.
And we're off.
Here we go. In 3, 2, 1.
Oh, dude. This is coming out next month.
Going into combat on a level no living pilot's ever seen.
Not even him.
You think up there you're dead. Believe me.
There's some cool shots in this, man.
My dad believed in you. I'm not gonna make the same mistake.
Oh, burn! Baby goose.
Someone's not coming back from this.
Those are your pilots.
Oh, yeah. Volleyball scene again, guys. Smoke in the air, smoke in
the air. Oh, no.
You'll never forgive yourself.
Oh.
No turning back now.
Come on!
Having any fun yet?
Dude. That's fucking Tom Cruise in there, dude. There's no joke. This motherfucker's crazy. He's just crazy. Okay, so there is that. See, here's what I like about it. It's like, it looks like it's going to be cheesy, and they're like, they're going after all the little feels, but I don't care, dude. I'm down for this one.
Yeah, the nostalgia value is strong for me. I'll take it. I really thoroughly enjoyed that.
And Val Kilmer is not just a picture on the wall. He's going to be in the film. They actually got him to come out and film some scenes, so that is pretty rad. He deserves to be in it. So that is cool. So what was your initial take? I know, Eric, you hadn't seen this. Randy, have you seen that yet? No?
I had not seen it.
Okay, what's your take? Were you a fan of the original?
Nope.
Okay.
Oh, I was, man. I totally was. The Steve Stevens theme is what drove me into that first one.
That was so great.
I got to tell you, I didn't care about this movie at all until I saw that trailer just now.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh dang,
exactly
that.
Yeah,
that looks, it did, it like hit me in the feels, which is stupid. But
it is stupid. It is totally stupid. And I went back and watched Top Gun with Lorena. She hadn't seen it, and it didn't hold up for her. I mean, for her end at least, she's like, "What the fuck is this?" I was like, "This is this." I don't know what happened. This was one of the best films of my childhood.
I don't know what happened.
Good. It was never good.
You know what? It was good because it hit me when I was younger. I saw it in the movie theater as a little kid. That, you know, pre puberty.
All
I
wanted to do was be an airplane. That is all I ever wanted to do. And in act, I lived in San Diego for a while, and I actually had to commute from San Marcos to San Diego proper for a few years. And I actually got to drive by Top Gun.
Damn.
So
that's Miramar, right?
Yeah, MCAS Miramar. It was, and for about a year, I didn't realize it. And then one day, I was like, wait a minute, that's fucking Top Gun. I slowed down and just like, it was great to just see jets touch and go. It was cool, man. I totally loved Top Gun when I was a kid. Playing the game was awesome, and seeing this trailer and seeing it take a page. Well,
the game was a Cobra fucking guy. Fuck the game.
I'm still traumatized from trying to land on that damn aircraft carrier.
Oh, fuck that guy.
And refuel, dude.
And refuel.
No.
Refueling was the worst, actually. Refueling was even worse.
Fucking PTSD when you hear that noise. Oh, hell no. We've talked about this on this podcast before.
Yeah.
One of the hardest things to do.
Yeah. And that's just like the normal D-pad. That wasn't with where we got down.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm down for this. Boo, you didn't like this one or what?
Oh, no. So I liked it. I liked it. I've been excited enough for the movie. It's one of those movies where I'm like, I want to see this in IMAX. I think
it's
going to look great on the huge screen. It's going to sound
great. Or on your cell phone, either way.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I'll put on pants for this one and go see it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
It's pants worthy. But
The one problem, I guess, because I watched this most recent trailer, and then I watched, I think there's two others or one other one. The amount of time that I've looked at Tom Cruise's face inside that cockpit, a little concerning for me. I understand that there's going to be some epic shots where you need his facial reaction to understand what's going on in the scene and stuff like that. I'm just concerned that we're going to be staring at his face for like.
Well, the first one was like that.
No, but not as much. I don't know. I saw this and I was just like, look at Tom Cruise's face in that helmet in that cockpit a lot.
And yeah, you are going to see that.
Other things that I think, especially now, you know, with the what he's been allowed to do, you know, with the. You know, he's talked to the actual Navy and the Air Force, and they wouldn't let him pilot it by himself.
Yeah, but he's like, up there with someone.
Yeah, but they're like, yeah, we'll put you up there. Hell yeah. He's like, all right, bitching. So that's my only concern, but I am totally pumped to see it. It looks like an awesome movie. Yeah.
The action sequences look great, and the flying sequences look awesome, man. King Tom, were you ever a big fan of Top Gun?
Not really.
Are you a big fan of yourself?
Yeah. I thought it was okay, but, you know, nothing. It just, it was a movie.
They didn't get you 6 to 12, is what you're saying.
No.
All right.
Predator is pretty good.
Predator was great.
It's a great movie.
It is. There's no denying that. That one holds up.
Yeah, it does hold up.
That one holds up. All right. Well, let's get into boobits. You have some boobits for us? It doesn't have to be a lot. You can just give us a tiny bits, more some important bits.
There you go. There you go.
See how we get off the rails on these ones.
Yeah, really. Well, to lead off one of my favorite bits so far. So James Cameron said that their Avatar 2 is coming out in 2022.
Lies in the textbook.
Yeah. There's not much time left to 2022, and it's not scheduled for anything, so who the fuck knows? But there is supposed to be an Avatar 2 teaser in front of Doc Strange 2.
Oh, teasing the Avatar.
Teasing the Avatar. I think the sequel is supposed to be them in the ocean of Pandora or something like that.
So. Yeah, yeah. They filmed inside the water in a pool or something.
Yeah, yeah. He loves the water.
He loves water.
So yeah, so take that for whatever you want. When I first saw the first one where it's gonna come out in 2022, rolled my eyes. When I saw this, rolled my eyes again. So whatever, James Cameron. Whatever you want to do. Sure, pal.
Whatever, James.
Whatever.
Whatever. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah. Something that I do think is gonna happen is there's gonna be an It prequel series on HBO Max.
Oh.
It's in development right now. But it's going to center around Pennywise's origin in the town of Derry. Jesus Christ. I forgot what it was. And it's going to be called Welcome to Derry.
Welcome to Derry.
Yeah.
And is it going to be like in the circus, like that whole shenanigan that we saw?
Possibly. Maybe how he chooses to be the clown, because, you know, spoiler alert, you find out that he's changed his form several times, so this might be where he actually chooses to be the clown.
Oh, yes, like, that's right. I forgot about that. Right? Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fucking Pennywise. The second one, the first one scared the shit out of me, man, let me tell you. Not the first one with John Ritter. That one was scary, too. But the first one of the films was phenomenal. And I liked the second one. It just wasn't as scary to me. It's more supernatural and shit.
Does that mean we get the original ceremony?
I don't think it goes back that far, but maybe, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
Have we talked about that the House of Dragons show on HBO is going to be premieres on August 21st?
No.
Talk about that
yet? I think that came out today, that info, right?
Okay, yeah. So, the House of Dragon premieres on HBO on August 21st.
Nice.
Yeah, so I think they've said how many episodes it is. I think the first season is 10, I hope, I think.
Well, that's good. I'm not sure. Hour each, 10 hours of Dragon?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And as far as George R. R. Martin's concerned, it's going to be a lot of Dragon, so that'll be good.
How far ahead is it set, Boo?
Isn't it a prequel?
It's like 300 years or something like that?
Yeah, it's a prequel, the last time I checked, right?
Or am I wrong? Yeah, because I just was wondering if we were going to see, like, the kids, like to see Ned and Robert and Tywin.
Oh, I think you're right. I think it is before, way before them. Yeah.
Dude, have you seen his J.R. Martin's dick?
What?
His neither has he.
Ha. Ha.
Thanks for interjecting me. Fuck on my joke, you fucker. Les. Just control yourself for once. God damn it. Just gonna jump the gun, dude.
Come on, did you see it? Did you like it?
did you like it? I'm sorry, Boo. Go ahead.
You're good. Some sad news. Bruce Willis is retiring from acting. He's been diagnosed with aphasia, I think. I think is the way you spell it. Aphasia. The loss of ability to understand or express speech caused brain damage. Yeah. Yeah, this news was given to us by his family. He's going to retire from acting at 67 because of what he's been diagnosed with is, I think you say it, aphasia. First time I've ever heard of it. So yeah, so that's pretty sad. That's awful.
Now, is there an incident where he got the brain damage, or is it something that's been happening gradually? Is it something that gets worse?
They haven't given me any more exact details of you know, how he was diagnosed or the reason why, or if this has been an ongoing thing. He's been making movies pretty consistently.
Yeah, he sure has.
Few years, and he's I haven't noticed a difference. I haven't seen any of them. Let's put it that way. But from the trailers and other things and interviews I've seen of him, he seemed fine. He seemed the normal Bruce Willis. So this might be a sudden thing. No idea. We'll find out more information as time goes on. But it does suck.
Great career.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, great career. So, yeah, that does suck. Sorry to poop on the parade there, but I had okay. to share.
Sad bits.
Sad bits. And I think that's pretty much... Oh, ooh, we have one good bit. One great bit here.
Oh, no. Oh, shit.
Yeah, buddy. A Godzilla versus Kong sequel will start filming in Australia later this year.
Who the hell wants to see that, bro?
I do.
Everyone!
Okay, I guess you'd everyone.
Oh,
I made that specifically for you, Boo. Thank you. Every time you say everyone, I bust that out.
Everybody wants to see that. Yeah.
Everyone knows.
We all know. That's what he always says. Like,
yeah, we all know.
Almost didn't.
Or everyone knows. We all know.
We all know.
So yes. Godzilla versus Kong sequel, right?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
And then didn't one of them go into the upside down world or something at the end of that movie?
Yeah, King Kong.
Yeah, some weird shit.
Great.
Yeah,
was
in like the so earth bad. Under the earth kind of thing. Yeah.
Right. Everything was like upside down and
yeah, gravity was a little bit off. Yeah. He found a special like axe thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he found fucking Stormbreaker.
Pretty much.
Okay. Well, that was a good one. Thank you for your little bits. Bringing it before we talk about Moon Knight to end this thing. Unfortunately, we had some sad news over the weekend, and Taylor Hawkins passed away. And one of the best, you can't judge these things, all debatable, but for our generation, one of the greats back there playing drums for one of the biggest bands over the last 25 years. It just seems like we're losing a lot of people all the time nowadays. And I know he was in Bogota, Colombia, and they were going to perform at Lollapalooza. They're going to headline in Brazil, I think, the next day or something like that. And he was found dead in his hotel room. And the Colombians don't mess around, man. They checked out the toxicology report, and there was a bunch of stuff found, but that's neither here nor there. We just lost a good one. And I found a clip, and I spliced together some stuff that Howard Stern, because he was on Howard Stern a lot. And I know we've seen him personally. Les and I have seen him. We saw him at Life is Beautiful, the Foo Fighters. I've seen them five or six times, seen him up close, seen him from way far away. They always made you feel like you were in a little bar watching them, especially when they did cover songs and stuff. And I also, my biggest thrill was to see him and David Grohl induct Rush into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame when it was here in Los Angeles. And that was like the coolest thing I've ever gone to. And they came out and they played 2112, and then Rush joined them on stage. So that was, I'll never forget that. So rest in sound, Taylor.
Really shocked when I woke up and learned that a real friend of the show and a guy I loved and admired, Taylor Hawkins, who was the drummer, as you know, from Foo Fighters, who has been on this show a million times going back a whole bunch of years.
Was recently on the show.
Recently. So I can't tell you how sad I was when I woke up after this guy has been on the show so many times. I thought he looked like a rock star. He had everything. He had the talent. He was an excellent drummer. He had that long blonde hair like a surfer. And this Taylor Hawkins, I always had a great feeling about. I know Robin did for a different. I thought he was a great looking guy.
I loved him. I thought he was so cool and so sweet.
I'll play a couple of clips from the times that he was on. Here's an example of how much Dave Grohl and Taylor liked each other right from the start. Their friendship was one of the great partnerships in rock music, and here you go.
The day we met, it was like long-lost brothers.
Right.
Definitely best friends and have a good connection musically. And,
right.
You know, when we're on stage, I probably spend most of the time focused on Taylor.
Right. Dave Grohl was, of course, the drummer in Nirvana. He's considered one of the greatest drummers of all time, so people are always asking Taylor, is it intimidating to play drums in Dave Grohl's band? And this is what he said.
The only time I get really nervous when, or not just, or antsy is when we're recording new music, because, he's such a great drummer. He could obviously do it himself. So I have to sit in there with the headphones and make Dave happy, which is hard, but it's not hard. He's never a dick about it, really. Honestly, I can honestly say that he's never a dick about it, but, it's intimidating. There's no question. When I joined the band, I was super intimidated because, I met Axl Rose the first time and he said, "What's it like being the drummer for the greatest drummer of the 90s? I'm like, oh.
And Dave always believed in Taylor as a drummer. They met when Taylor was playing drums for Alanis Morissette. He had a touring band she put together, and that's what Taylor was doing. Dave needed a drummer for the Foo Fighters, and Taylor fit right in. Even in 1999, Dave was sure his partnership with Taylor would last. He offered to pay me if he ever fired Taylor. That's how much he loved
him. I would never throw Taylor out of this band. I will never throw Taylor out of this band.
Famous last words.
Tape.
Save the tape.
Let me ask you something. But let me ask you something.
I'll bet you $10,000.
Did you record?
If I ever throw Taylor out of the band.
You give me $10,000?
$10,000.
All right, do me a favor, though.
Do you more than that.
Tell me the truth. Do you ever?
Okay, $20,000.
Thank you.
$25,000.
Do you ever record over what Taylor did?
No.
The friendship, the loyalty went both ways. This is what Taylor said in Argentina last week at the band's last show before he died. This is Taylor talking.
I fucking love Dave Grohl, man. I'd be delivering pizzas if it wasn't for fucking Dave Grohl. I'd be managing the drum department at a guitar center if it wasn't for Dave Grohl.
Taylor once told me how he obsessed about music and how obsessed he needed to be in order to get to that level of being a great musician.
When all you guys were kids, did you just sit in your rooms and play over and over and over again? Was it really just an obsession? Did it take thousands and thousands of hours of practice?
It wasn't just the playing. It was the looking at the records and looking inside the records and looking at the drum sets and looking at the stages. And it was kind of all encompassing for me. I mean, once rock and roll was it, there was nothing else. Nothing else. Well, and girls.
This is something that's very personal and dear to me.
Let me pause this right here. So Perry Farrell and his wife were best friends with Taylor and his wife, and they would see each other. So the night that he passed away, he called Perry and his wife and left a message. So this is the last recording that you'll ever hear from him.
It is the last audio message that I received on my phone on Thursday night. It was sent out from the hotel.
Take care of each other, and I'll take care of me, and I will see you guys in Sao Paulo. I love, 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 love you guys. Sleep tight.
So there you have it, guys. That's just the sad case, and we lose another great one. Just sucks. I saw, Eric, that you were shaking your head, yes, when you were talking about the... I'm obviously not a musician, but I would do exactly what he said. When I get a record, I'd take it out, or a CD, or I'd look at every single lyric, read every lyric, read every liner note, and kind of study it. And I saw you shaking your head as well.
Oh yeah, man. When I was a kid, that stuff was magic. That's what led me, part of what led me to want to play music. And I mean, there's obviously all the other aspects. It doesn't take thousands of hours. Yes, if you want to be good, it does. But it seems like a lot of times it's just fun. It's not work, but it is work. But one of the things that's toughest for me with this loss is Taylor Hawkins' exuberance for what he did. He never stopped loving the music. And that's one of the things with when you watch the Foo Fighters, they love what they do.
Yeah, they sure do.
It never looks like it's a chore. And I mean, I can honestly tell you, I love music, and playing music has been a chore at times. And when you're in this huge band and somebody's setting up all your stuff for you, that maybe takes the edge off. But he loved what he did, and
yeah,
see it in his smile. And it's tough, man. It's just tough that this is a thing. but
yeah. Yeah. And we don't know if they're going to continue on or not, but
they have officially canceled all of their
dates
booked. And I mean, that's just completely understandable. I couldn't imagine trying to go forward. Like when Metallica did it after Cliff Burton passed away.
Yeah.
That was rough. You know, they came back probably quicker than you would think a lot of bands. But, you know, at that point, they didn't have nearly the tenure that they have now. Exactly. But it's, yeah, what a loss, man. They've been together for so long and been through so much. And it's not just about playing the music. When you're on tour, it's blood, sweat, and tears with each other. You are counting on those guys emotionally and from a friend standpoint, and obviously the money standpoint. There's this unspoken, well, I mean, I'm sure they had lots of legal contractual agreements, but you know, this unspoken agreement that you're going to do your part to make sure this works out for everybody. And you're just slugging it out, man. It's even whenever you've got it good, it's not always easy. So this has got to be just brutal from an emotional standpoint.
Yeah. And how close they were and the best friends they were. I was lucky enough to see them. They did a charity event for the COVID first responders. And we saw them at SoFi and they were so happy to be playing in front of a live audience again. They were only supposed to play four songs. They ended up playing for an hour and 10 minutes and they brought Brian Johnson out from AC/DC and they did Back in Black together. Yeah. It was so great. It was so awesome. And I know our friend Nick from Bayside and from Thank the Maker, he was so excited because he's playing a festival and he's playing on the same day that the Foo Fighters were headlining and in Sacramento. And he said, man, this is going to be rad. I get to play on the same stage on the same day as a Foo Fighter. So it's definitely a shame. Sucks. All right, guys. Let's real quick get some reactions. Did everybody see Moon Knight? By the way, yes, we did. Everyone, don't make me. Oh.
Everyone.
Okay, I just like seeing Gary Oldman's face. It's the best. King Tom, I'm going to start with you. For you, we're going to spoil Moon Knight, and there's not a ton to spoil, really. So if you haven't seen it yet, you can still listen to us here, and maybe we'll give you the yay or nay on this. I'm really eager to hear everyone's opinion, except for Les's, because I know that he enjoyed it because we watched it together. Not that I'm not going to get your opinion, Les. I'm just saying I'm going to get everybody else's first, and then I'll come to you. King Tom, what's your take on it?
I enjoyed the hell out of it. I thought it told a good, compelling story that I'm interested in. You know, I'm not like super deep into the Moon Knight story. I know a few of his storylines, some of his appearances. I do, you know, he was someone I read a few issues of his comic when I was much younger. I liked him back then. And it's kind of weird now because he wasn't like an A or B list Marvel hero ever. But it's great that we have a show about a guy who gets his powers from, you know, an Egyptian god, and they're really, so cool. They're really with the, is it cognitive dissociative disorder?
Mm-hmm.
They're really going all in on the story and so far telling it in a good way. I mean, you can, as an outside observer, you know things that the characters don't, and you can kind of tell what's going on. And I think they're putting it together very well. It's entertaining. It's got humor. It's a little bit of a thriller too. And the action was great also.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. I don't know anything about Moon Knight, and I purposely didn't look up anything when I saw this because I didn't want to know. I wanted to go in fresh. I really liked it. I liked that it wasn't like the other Marvel shows. I love that it's set in London. I love that Oscar Isaac has a British accent, and our viewers on YouTube that are from London and England, they said that he nailed the accent. And so that's a great sign. And I got scared a couple times. The elevator scene with the dark and the things, the weird looking like cultish things. I am not into that shit at all. Like fucking True Detective cave fucking scenes. I just don't like that shit. That scares me. So it scared me a little bit. I thought of Boo and I was like, I wonder if Boo's getting freaked out over this. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was great. And I think it's going to get better and better and better. So well done, Marvel. Eric, what's your take on it?
Well, the same as you, man. I had no preconceived notion about Moon Knight. I'm not familiar with the character at all.
And I went in this into this with a completely clean slate, except I knew Oscar Isaac was in it. I had seen the trailer. But I was floored by how much I liked it. Everything about it, and like his acting, and like the way they cut to suddenly he's back to normal and wondering what went on, the way they did that from a filmic standpoint, but also just his acting for that is incredibly compelling. It's very, very good, and I'm looking forward to see where it goes. I'm very interested in the story.
You make a good point, because I love the way that they didn't show us him kicking ass, and they just showed us the aftermath. I thought that was really well done, because he didn't see it. You know what I mean? So we don't get to see it either. So it was really cool. Randy, what's your take?
I haven't got a chance to see it yet.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no, it's fine. It seems like this is kind of just a lay down.
Yeah.
The exposition episode. So I'm not terribly worried.
Yeah, there wasn't
I'm looking forward to watch it tonight.
Yeah, there wasn't a ton of things that we could spoil, but I will say this, it'll start a little bit slow. And I think Boo's shaking his head. It starts a little bit slow and then it kicks into overdrive and it kind of doesn't let up for a while, which is great. And the car chase scene was phenomenal, in my opinion. And Boo, I know you love car chase scenes. What's your take on the car chase scene and the entire thing?
I love the serious chase scenes where the person is prepared and they're ready to go and they're like, yeah, I got this car and I know what to do here. Not he's in a cupcake truck. That's, you know, he's like, and he's talking to the cupcake truck. He's like, I'm in a cupcake truck.
Yeah, he's so chased. Good.
He's like, there's so many of them, I'm gonna
smash the guy's face with a cupcake.
Yeah, yes, exactly. And then he apologizes for smashing his face. Oh yeah. So that aspect of the show where, you know, we've seen, you know, these awesome scenes in the trailers and stuff like that, but then you start getting the actual character, you're like, oh dear God, he's gonna die. You know, he waves at the guy after either he jumps out of the window or gets thrown out, either one, and he wakes up, you know, or gains consciousness again, and then they start shooting at him. So yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. I did like it. I'm interested. I'm gonna need some more to really get really engaged, but I'm interested. I want to know more. I know zero about Moon Knight, so it's nice just watching a show and just being interested and not having any preconceived ideas or anything like that. I dig it. It's going to take a little bit more a few more episodes, but Oscar Isaac's doing great.
He really is.
I love Egyptian history, so that's a nice thing to have. So yeah.
It looks like
a cool show.
Going back to Oscar Isaac, he's doing a phenomenal job. Not an easy task to just say, hey, you're British today. You know what I mean? I know he's an actor. I know that's what you do. But I mean, to do it and do it well done. So Les, I know we recorded last night and we really enjoyed it. And it was a lot of fun watching it together. And I know our facial reactions to the car chase scenes and me freaking out over things popping out. So what was your whole take on it?
This is as fresh as it gets, especially if you don't know anything. And I get it. A lot of people are comic book readers, but let's be real here. This is Moon Knight. Only die hard fans know what's going on here. So I completely am ready for the ride. I want to see where all this ends. I want to see where all these new series, where it goes, what type of team are we getting? Is this just going to be a limited series where we get Moon Knight? I want to do research. I want to check, is there connections to Black Panther? Because I mean, it's Egypt. Is Khonshu related to Bast, the Panther goddess? Is that something that we can explore later on, you know, 3 years from now, and get like this whole different type of connection on that level? Car chase was definitely, I think it redefines car chases, in all honesty.
Cool.
Like Boo said, you know, there's usually the precision driving and just like stunts and stuff, but this was like comical. I empathized with Stephen Grant / Mark Spector, because the horror of what did I do? You know, for any of us who have party too hard and blacked out, and then the next day you wake up and people go, oh, you should have seen what you did last night. And you're like, well, what the fuck did I do? You know, is even in that regard, you know, but this is something else where he could be This whole thing could end up in episode 5 where he's just beating the shit out of everybody at a birthday party. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm like,
going, not,
okay,
man.
Where he, you know, he's fist fighting kids on a freaking spider at a jungle, you know, in the park. And you're just like, what? Because I like the fact that we're getting this type of nuance or I guess it's a caveat or just a new twist where we're getting a hero with issues and not just issues of like, okay, I have some trauma or, you know, I only operate at night. No, this person is, he's going through a whole procedure to tie himself down so he doesn't leave. And then when he gets up in the morning, he double, triple checks, you know, then all of a sudden he finds a burner phone or where he's got like all these phone calls that are missed. And it's like, this dude is just trying to keep it together. And to get that whole, like, the idiots in charge and to know that, I guess that's how it is with people with those disassociative personalities is like, you know, there's like a steering wheel and who's at the steering wheel this time. It's almost like Split when we're watching Split and it's like, okay, how many different personalities does this person have and who's in charge at this time? And, you know, it's just, I think they did this already. Okay, I'm sure people, especially the Wim's, going to say, well, if you watch fucking Doom Patrol, you'll know that Crazy Jane is exactly like Moon Knight, whereas it's always something, a different manifestation. But this is just fucking cooler, man. So I don't give a fuck. Ooh. You can tell me to fuck off. I'm just saying it, man.
Damn. Damn. Well, there it is. It's just cooler.
I'm on my Will Smith shit, man. I'm slapping. No, I'm joking.
Oh,
I'm not gonna. I really can't afford to hit anybody, especially me being alive.
Here's the question, though. Here's the question: why don't pharaohs do dad jokes? Come on, guys. Because they're all mummies. Guys, that'll wrap up episode number 295 of The Sithist. Thanks for tuning in. Appreciate it. Randy, cannot wait for you to watch Moon Knight and finally get the joke. Where can people find you, Eric?
Check out my other podcast, The Bad Motivators, where we're like working the magic weekly. And also follow me on Twitter at Eric Strothers. I actually tweeted something that wasn't about Taylor Swift for a change. So there you go.
King Tom Chansky, king of all pods, killing it. I can't say that joke that you just said, but killing it. Where can people find you?
I was talking with Sal on the Rogue Rebels this week. We talked about some Star Wars High Republic comics. Had a great time. I also do Patreon shows for Steel Wars, Blue Harvest, and The Bad Motivators. And then I'm on Twitter at Tom Chansky, where I'll have all the scoops and latest news about Ace of Base.
I knew it was coming somewhere. And by the way, great episode with Sal.
Thank you.
Great episode. Sal is such a fun time to hang out with, do a podcast. It's very professional, unlike us.
Yeah. And also, unlike us, genuinely one of the best people you could ever meet.
Absolutely. Exactly. Absolutely. Yeah. Complete, like, he's the bizarro of us. Like, complete opposite. Like, bad guy, good guy. Okay. King Tom, you're a good guy, too. Boo, where could people find you?
You can find me on Twitter, at the Sith List, Boo.
Nice. So, Boo, nothing in that Moon Knight scared you at all?
I did not like a jump scare or anything like that. Okay. In the elevator, or like the hallway.
The hallway scene. Yeah.
And then like the hand, then it's the old lady.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
The old lady, you see him just cowering on the floor. Made it funny. But no, but nothing really jump.
Okay, because I was feeling for you. I thought you were in trouble. Les, where can people find you? Oh, man, Captain America's crotch is right in your way there. I like the new background. I get the you
purposely
did that.
It's actually going
that.
Away from me, so it's not really.
Is it? It looks like
it's not offensive, and it's not unwanted, so there we go.
It's not unwanted. Well, of course. Who wouldn't want Captain America's crotch in your face? Where can people find you other than in Captain America's crotch?
That's exactly where y'all can find me. Sitting in his lap.
talking about the first thing that pops up.
That's America's crotch.
That's right. America's crotch. That is yes. Right. Sitting in the lap of America there on Twitter at Less is More 78 and on this podcast called The Sith List and our YouTube channel doing awesome reactions to Moon Knight and Obi-Wan coming up soon too.
Obi-Wan. First reaction, by the way, is going to be of all of us watching it. That's going to be kind of cool. A panel reaction.
That's going to be great.
Randy, I saw you shaking your head in disgust like every episode. Thanks for coming out.
Yeah, don't mind me, man. I'm just on my pyramid.
Oh, gosh. It gets in there somehow, some way. Credit Kingdom. Guys, you can catch me at The Sith List. Please check us out. Like Les said, on YouTube, subscribe. We'd love to have you watching some reactions and some breakdowns and reviews and going to dive into the Obi-Wan. And also our 300th episode, please look out for some info on that. We'd love for you to come on and tell us how bad we are. Until then, we'll catch you next week on episode number 296 of The Sith List.
Lately, I've been measuring. Seems my time is growing thin. Wind me up and watch me spin. Watch me spin. Watch me spin. Skin and bones. Skin and bones. Skin and bones, don't you know? Skin and bones, skin and bones, skin and bones, don't you know? I'm just skin and bones.
Skin and bones.